Brother Ray asked a blessing on the offering, and then hurry up, would you please? Go ahead, buddy.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done, provided for us.
Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Sunday school hour, that we can learn more about you.
Amen.
Pray that we can tell others more about you and bring other souls to you. Praise to this book, the service, and bless us all. In Jesus' name.
Amen. What a blessing. Sister, I forgot your name already. Ain't that terrible? And I know I've known you for years.
Amy.
I gotta remember that. Does she spell it right though? She doesn't spell it right? Okay. You know, Jamie, it's funny because first letter I ever sent to her, I put an E on the end of it. One time I did that. Boy, did I get in trouble. So Zephaniah chapter 3. I want to finish up the book of Zephaniah. I didn't have any notes printed out. The reason the book of Zephaniah is about judgment. Nobody likes judgment. Nobody likes being told you're wrong. Nobody wants to see this. The Bible was written that you and I would see, number one, our need of the Lord Jesus. So how do you see your need? Well, you have to see yourself like God sees you. Now, every one of us in here, we're always cautious to be compassionate. Now, we never condone sin, but what are you going to do with it? If it's your child or your grandchild or it's yourself or your husband or your mate or whatnot, how do you deal with it? There are a lot of people that deal with it in different ways, I'm sure, and as we've seen in today. But as we come to Zephaniah, there's more judgment. You say, how is that encouraging? It is encouraging to note that God loves us so much. He wants us to see us for who we really are, not to beat us up or downgrade us, but again, to see the need that we have of Him. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Now, in chapter 3, God's speaking to Jerusalem and the nations, as we've seen this whole time, verse 1 of chapter 2. Gather yourselves together, O ye. Gather together, O nation not desired. And then he mentions in chapter 2 the nations and what God's going to do with it. That's what we're seeing a lot of today. There's a lot going on. And whether you agree with how President Trump is doing some things, if you go back to the past 5 presidents and the things that they did or didn't do, God's got a plan in this. And the nations are, listen, we're all under sin. Oh, could you help encourage me? Yeah, you don't have to stay there. The Lord Jesus Christ will forgive you. And I think that's the struggle we have is realizing first that we need to ask for forgiveness. And then secondly, to get us to a place where we will ask for forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. I know I just blew your bubble. I know it. Because you thought I was this handsome, muscular, charismatic fella that laughs a lot and plays a lot. Why? He's got to be perfect. Well, I have proved I'm not perfect to my wife over these, in August, it'd be 40 years of dating. I know. And she's never seen me do anything stupid. At least not today. Have I done anything dumb today? She'd let me know. She don't care. Anyway, listen, beloved, we are all under sin. The Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, and He washed away my past, present, and future sin. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I know that I'm saved. I know that heaven's glory will be my home. I know, I know, I know. It's by grace through faith. Lord Jesus, save me. Well, that's what the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts. Well, here in the first couple verses of Zephaniah 3, he's speaking to Jerusalem. He's speaking to the nations. And as we go on in our reading, he's trying to get, this is not a, oh, you're horrible and you're terrible and you're, God in His great compassion for us is trying to point out to us a few things. We didn't hear the voice. What happens to a child when you get on them? Don't they just kind of stand there and they look like what you're saying is going in one ear out the other? That's human nature, isn't it? Well, the same thing goes for you and I as adults with what God wants to do. Whenever I counsel or talk to anybody, first thing I'll ask them is, did you start your day off in praying? Did you start your day off in the Word of God? I don't know. I would say 99.9% of the people that I speak with on different things that they're having struggles with, the first thing they'll say is, no, I've not been in the Word. That's 99.999%. If you don't start in the Word, you got to go get some help. Why not go to your favorite? If you want to go to Psalm 23, you want to go to one of the Psalms that encourages your heart, that's fine. That's a great thing. Be reminded about how much God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Thank you, God, for doing that. Thank you for seeing my sin. Thank you for seeing my problems. Thank you. None of us like that, do we? None of us want to be told we're wrong. I mean, Brother Ray still is a Michigan Wolverine fan. Why would you want to do that? Can you be right with God and cheer for the Wolverines? Sister Bensie has proved you can. But Brother Ray hasn't yet. If you go blue, that means you're starved of oxygen. And if you go green, you got a stomach virus. Verse number 3, her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They've done violence to the law. We see that a lot today in the powers that be. Do y'all know of any politician or any leader that's without sin?
No.
Now, I have seen some pretty bad ugliness.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fix any problem. I've seen where in some of the judicial hearings with Secretary of State or Secretary of Department of War, and immediately the first thing that some people want to throw out is that President Trump's the most corrupt president in American history. That's not true. Now, there's a lot of things that can be said that are true, but there's a lot of things that are said that are not true. They talk about this and they talk about that. Our own governor has said some things. I've seen it within the justice system. Now, I will tell you this. I praise the Lord. Here in Ingham County, there are a couple good judges. Judge Kennedy has always been a friend of mine since I come to town. And you know, he's even told me, in the political light, it's tough to be a judge that's righteous. Everyone wants to manipulate the judge. Everyone wants a certain outcome. I mean, if you've done the crime, you're going to do the time. If you don't want to do the time, then just don't do the crime. Mama used to say that a lot. Come to think about it, my dad said that a lot. The judges, and you know what's really a sad day? Is even when the church leaders have done the same. And I know that's the kind of day we're in, but there's hope. The hope, of course, is in the Lord Jesus. Let's read on. Verse 5. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. All this nonsense is going on, but you cannot escape the eyes of God. Now, you can portray yourself to be one thing and another thing, but you can never fool God on who you really are. But that's a good thing. Well, Grandpa Bill, if I was having trouble at the house or having trouble at school or in trouble with this or that, he could read me. Come here, David. Come here and sit by me. I don't know if you've all had that individual. Maybe it was a mom or a dad or whoever it was. And as soon as you sat beside him, you felt this guilt come upon you. Now, Grandpa Bill was always good about, well, now, Dave, you know how to get it right. It's not that we live life to try to be perfect. That's the most foolish thing you can do. Your head will spin on your neck. You'll be worried about this and worried about that, trying to be perfect all the time. You just be good at what you're doing that pleases God, what you're doing at that time. Now, the old statement is either be good or be good at it. Well, you better be careful with that because you can be good at sin. You and I are great at sin. We're great at holding grudges. We're great at being mean to each other. We're good to this. An individual at the golf course on Thursday, I was out mowing, and he waved me down. And he asked me about our martial arts program, asked us about our church and stuff. And he said, David, you're different. I said, yeah, I'm different. I know I'm different. I'm not from Michigan. Anyhow, I know I'm different because I see the individual with two eyes. If the blind man, I still see a two individual with a soul. He asked me, he says, well, what do y'all train with? And I said, well, just gave him ideas, you know, it's Taekwondo based and we go into other things so that you can survive any kind of street altercation. He says, well, he asked me about a situation. He says, what do you teach about this situation? I said, best situation is just put your hands up and say, hey, look, man, can we work this out? I'd much rather buy somebody a cheeseburger and talk it out as to how to have an altercation of any kind. And I've seen them in different places. We were at a venue. There was a concert going on, and some people behind us were causing a problem. And I just stood up and said, hey, as loud as I could. Got everybody's attention in that section. I said, this is a bucket list item. My wife and I are here to enjoy it, and I'm not going to sit here and enjoy it with y'all being fools back there. Now calm down. Looked at the family that had their seats taken, and these folks weren't willing to take the seats up. I said, hey, I got two seats here down here by my wife and I. Why don't you come down here and sit? And he come down, he says, who are you? I said, I'm a bouncer for God. Nah, it's all right. I got something for that too. Anyhow, people, we can just be so mean to each other. And it just doesn't do any good. The Lord's in the midst of it. He reads your heart like nobody I've ever known. I know my dad, a lot of people didn't like my dad. He could read you. There was no lying to Dad. Dad would even sit there and say, you want to tell me another story? Well, that you didn't buy that one, Dad? Nope, tell me the real story. Of course, you know, I told you about I was 14 and the stupid thing I said to him, to a Vietnam vet, you know, man killer, Marine Corps vet, drunk, when I said to him, well, clean out the chicken house yourself, old man. You know, that never went over well. And he and I would laugh about that later. We didn't laugh about it that day. But I remember the times, and it was stupid of me for sure. God sees your heart constantly. I think it's not so much me you've got to please. And I've told, even in the martial arts or here in the church house, don't please David. I'm just David. I was born in Terre Haute, Indiana, to John and Becky Garver. That's what I am, just like you and I. Except for Brother Ray, he was hatched, the way I understand it. Hey, beloved, the Lord's everywhere. He can see her all. I didn't have any jury duty this week. Every day I called, they didn't need me. Part of me was looking forward to getting down there. Because every time I've gone down there, and I've gone down, I don't understand why my name gets picked 2 and 3 times a year. Is anybody else in here like that? I don't know why they do that. Is there a mark on my head or something? And most of the time it's Judge Kennedy. And I've told you the story about the last time. Everybody's guilty. Y'all realize that? We're all guilty of something. But I've always had a chance to give the gospel when I was there. To not only the 100 jurors that have been set aside, defense attorney, prosecuting attorney, church recorder, bailiff. And I've been amazed at how that they receive it. Especially when they answer questions, and y'all have been maybe sequestered for voir dire, when they go through voir dire and they ask questions. Of course, I always start the question out with, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Savior. And then I answer it with fewer words than possible because they try to do the case during voir dire. You know, they try to go ahead, but that you can't do that. The Lord's everywhere. You cannot get away from Him. You can try. I've tried. I told you it was probably July of 06. I had working at Pensacola Christian. I was underneath the press. At that time, I had hair. And then I came here and was a pastor to the Mills family, and I lost all my hair. But I was laying in that oil, and I laid paper down, and I didn't lay it down far enough, and I'd crawl underneath. These presses were just enough. My chest would touch the top of the press, and I would slide through there and work on whatever I needed to work on. But I remember that night laying there and I felt oil in my hair, and I was like, oh, man. I remember asking the Lord right then and there, Lord, if you let me pastor again, I'll go. Oh, I better be more specific next time in my prayer because I wound up in Lansing, Michigan.
He has a plan.
He has a plan. And a lot of times it's not mine.
Right.
Wait a minute. 99% of the time it's not mine. God knows where you're at. When you're struggling and you're hurting, He's there to be a help to you. Why is it we only go to Him when we're in need of help rather than going to Him when we're not in need of help? Every day we're in need of help. So he mentions that the Lord is just in the midst of thereof. He will not do iniquity. Praise God, He will never sin. You know, God will never be mischievous towards you. He'll never be ugly towards you. The Lord Jesus Christ came, and I know He went through so much, but you will never find God in heaven with a ball bat ready to beat you over the head. But there are some things that we need to do. We're going to look at that in the morning message out of the book of Luke. But here in this passage, the Lord's there. He will not do any iniquity. I can trust Him. 1,000%. Somebody, quickly for me, name somebody on earth you can trust 1,000%. Exactly. No one. But why is it that even here in Zephaniah and in the book of Zephaniah, and especially in the prophets of the back end of the Old Testament, they dealt with people that were just so corrupt. But I'm just as corrupt as the next person, and so are you. But our God is not. God is not going to sin against you. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to kick you out of the house. Even when we deserve it. I know nobody in here has ever deserved being kicked out of the house, right? Nobody in here has ever deserved jail time. Nobody in here has ever deserved, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, I've got to a point now, I guess it's because I'm getting older, trying to become more merciful, and there's probably an area that I need to most work on is mercy, having mercy on people. When an individual cusses you and you just stand there and you take it. Now I've got to a point where I'll say, do you feel better? Well, it shuts them up. And it don't matter what state you're in. You can be up in southern Canada, I mean UP. You can be here as a troll under the bridge. You can be in the great paradise called Indiana. No, even the beautiful state of Florida. It don't matter where you go, whether it's Iran or Iraq. People are people. And to show them mercy, which is something that most people are not showing. Now, I will tell you that a woman stops being a woman when she swings at me. But even then, I want to block a couple and say, hey, can we figure this out? I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. Jesus Christ died for you. He arose again for you. Your struggle is not flesh and bone. Your struggle is that old heart. It's against what the devil is trying to get you to do. Of course, some of us don't need any help. You know, Flip Wilson wasn't right. But then again, he wasn't wrong. The devil made me do it. Y'all remember that? Well, the devil inside of you makes you do it. That's what our human nature is. But God's not that away. Why is it that maybe our church attendance or Bible reading, our prayer life are so weak? When in reality, beloved, whether you know this or not, your Bible reading is more important than you sitting there breathing. Your prayer life, especially when you just had enough, right? Then finally God gets you, Lord, why am I going through this again? So you'll come talk to me. I think so often we forget we can. We can just go and talk to Him. Believer, because of the Lord Jesus Christ's work, you can boldly go into the throne of grace. You're struggling and having a bad day. Well, they're definitely having a bad day in the book of Zephaniah. You have Judah, and Zephaniah is part of Judah, and it's the southern kingdom which has Babylon knocking on its door. You have to understand that those enemies. And the enemy, and Dad has explained to me what he saw in Vietnam, and the men that were on the Solomon Islands during World War II, they explained to me what they saw the enemy do. I'll tell you something, friend. If I was to stand here and explain to you what the enemy will do, it would make every one of us vomit. If I went into detail, every one of us would be sick. That's what the enemy does, though. But God never does that. He mentions here, every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. Now here's the judgment. I made their streets waste that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. That's the judgment of God, y'all. Now, I will say that this part of Zephaniah is speaking of the time of the great tribulation. And we have the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus, and we have Armageddon. There's mountains removed. There's inhabitants destroyed. Why? Because they did not. You go back to verses 1 and 2. They didn't hear the voice. They didn't obey the voice. They didn't listen to God. You know, I know that we've all said it in our house. I can't wait to get out and be able to do whatever I want. Anybody say that? Like those young men in those juvie facilities used to tell me. They said, I'm getting tired of being told what to do, so I'm going to join the Marine Corps. Oh yeah, they don't tell you anything, do they? We're always looking for a way out. I did. I don't know about you. And I won't go into all the history. But God used Jamie, my Jamie, my sweet cakes, it spells her name right. My Jamie, God used my Jamie to help me. And it was I'm a rescue. That right, I'm a mutt. Y'all know I'm a mutt, right? And the Lord sent Jamie along to rescue me from the pound. That's the way God does. Amen. So who's going to rescue her, I guess, might be the real question to ask here. And the scriptures, when you begin to read them, they start opening up, and you start seeing how you've been blessed. How you've been blessed. Gary and Laura Carwell, always making sure I was in the church house. Mr. Smith and Mr. Goble coming down in the bus and picking us up and taking us to church. Always making sure that we could do those things. As you know, I really kind of grew up at the YMCA there in Paris. And having those mentors. I mean, God's been good to us. But judgment is real when you don't hear Him. Judgment is real when you reject Him. The rest of the judgments, verse 7, I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction. And here's a struggle we have. Everybody knows Sodom and Gomorrah. You ask anybody across this world, and they know Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened? The cities of the plain, there were approximately 7 cities there. There's thousands of people that God judged. You say, well, that's not a God. But you don't understand. What you don't understand is their sin was such that God had to do that. He's a righteous God. He wouldn't have been. But wait a minute, what was his compassion was to give us Jesus Christ. Did they know about it? What was the promise through Abraham? And there were others that heard about the truth. Let's go to Uriah the Hittite. That, what a mess with King David, but yet there were others, Rahab, who's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus. Rahab the harlot, the Bible calls her. How that she was not only rescued, but become a believer of that promise. There's so many other things that we can dive into, but just to kind of go on. So their dwelling should not be cut off, howsoever I punish them. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. It's amazing to me. There's people that stay up all hours of the night trying to figure out how to do wrong tomorrow. The devil never sleeps. Don't we agree? Well then, what's my out? What's my rescue plan? I mean, you can want plan A, but you better work plan B and C till plan A comes about. And a lot of times you go to plan D or E or F or G or whatever plan you want to go to, and you're going to find out the Lord Jesus is the only plan. He mentions in verse 8, therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation. even all my fierce anger. Beloved, right now we're seeing the long suffering of God. I know egg prices are up. I know gas prices are up. They've been up a lot the last, 6 years. And many people, they want to point the blame. But the blame is on me and it's on you. What I have noticed, even though prices have gone up, Jamie and I still eat. God's always providing. Egg prices may go up, but we've got eggs. Gas prices may go up. We just don't go a whole lot of places anymore. And if you have to, you save. By the way, what a novel idea. Save. Save. And you'll be surprised what you've got. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just making a paycheck to paycheck. Boy, do I understand that. So what do we need to do? We need to trust God. Now he mentions in verse number 9, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplements, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. Boy, there's a struggle right there that you and I deal with every day. That's why we go to prayer last. That's why we go to the word last, rather than it being first. If a baby's crying and has a dirty diaper, do you wait an hour or two? No, you clean the baby up. You have compassion on that child, correct? You don't wait till disease and many other things, and illnesses and all these different things can harm a child that cannot take care of themselves. And you and I have all been at that point where we couldn't take care of ourselves. With that in mind, Christian, with that in mind, beloved, even as an adult, there's a lot of things we cannot take care of on our own. November, Jamie and I have been married 39 years. How in the world has God got us there? Living with one imperfect beast and a beautiful woman. I'll let you figure out which one's which. How does God do? He's God. And He can. Boy, judgment is real. Verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee and afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Over the years, I would rather be around my people. And who are they? Ones that don't have. Some of the kindest people that I knew down south, especially in Florida, we get off into some of the smaller communities, Mayo or Gonzales or Perry or some of the smaller areas. Sister Karis, you know, there to the north of Huntsville is a little town called Lickskillet. It's up on the mountain. It's just to the north. Beautiful area. Y'all ever heard of Lickskillet? A lot of them are family and whatnot and how they'd get along. You know, back in the country days, we got along. You need eggs? Okay, we'll give you eggs. And they might do something to help our fences. Or we will go, and I've told you many times, walking beans and doing this kind of thing. Us poor folk got a way of making it, don't we? And we're going to make it. Amen. Today, is there? If you wanted breakfast, did you have it? If you wanted a cup, hallelujah, for coffee. Anybody else understand what I'm saying? If you don't drink coffee, you need Jesus really bad. Amen. Well, Brother Ray, you're kind of... Never mind, I won't go there. Brother Ray, he wants an IV in both arms of coffee while he's drinking a cup of coffee. Y'all, the Lord's done so much for us. There is such a thing as the anger of God, though. We're living during a time of long-suffering, and we have been. To tell you the truth, I figured the Lord Jesus would have already come back. I didn't think I was going to see the age of 50 with all that's going on with Israel and the Middle East. Always something going on over there and Europe and Russia and all these other things. You realize that God's got control of all that? Why worry about it? Matter of fact, it might be good that you just put your news away. Put the bad news away and get out the good news. And let that be a thing. So how do I know I'm not going to be in this judgment? The Lord Jesus Christ will save your soul. And if He has saved your soul, listen, your sins were all judged. All the condemnation and the wrath hung on that cross with the Lord Jesus. And your salvation was made through the Lord Jesus Christ, was finished. Amen. That empty tomb. Remember I told you the three empties that we love? The empty manger, the empty cross, and the empty tomb. That's why it has to be in a person who's never empty. And I'll tell you this right now, the Lord Jesus will never leave you empty. He's always going to fill you. Now, it might not be what you think. I walk around and pray for certain things around the church house, where there's the fellowship hall roof or this problem, the parking lot. Lord, can I finish up our rock garden out there and put some more flowers in it? Lord, can I do? And you know what the Lord usually says? Well, David, I want you to spend some time with me. With this back surgery, well, I've been spending a lot of time with God. I'll sit in my chair, and Jamie will tell you, I get to go sit in my chair again. Yeehaw! I remember a chiropractor, Brother Kevin, said to me, he says, well, I'd love to sit in my chair a little bit with my Bible in my lap. Spend some time with Him. You schedule everything else. Well, in this passage of Scripture, the Bible in verse 13 says, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. There's always a remnant. God is not done with Israel. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. If they do, they're a liar. They're a heretic. Don't listen to them. God has set His people aside right now, but He's still working in them. He's still protecting them. You and I don't know all the stories. I can only imagine how God has done this and God has done that in order for Israel to be a nation again. God's taking care of His people. So that helps me understand, as a born-again believer, a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, I know that He's going to take care of me. That's where we can go back to the part where He's never going to sin. If He said He's going to do it in the book, He's going to do it. Which is, boy, opposite of you and I and all the humans on earth. Do you ever get aggravated at humans? I was talking to some pros over at Maple Hill Golf over in Grand Rapids, and we were talking about that. Well, Pastor David, they were hitting some golf shots. And I just stepped up there and bam, bam. One guy says, you act like there's nobody around. That's the Lord working, not me. Do you have your PGA card yet? Now I'm working on it. I want to be able to teach. Well, what things are you teaching? One of the things at Grand Ledge that they've allowed me to do, there's a bunch of Lutherans out there, right? What are you doing in martial arts? I said, let me show you. About 2 years ago, we started here. Courtesy, integrity, self-control, perseverance, indomitable spirit. Those same tenets and those same things we teach in the Word. And then it is amazing to me. Oh, in a group of about 30, you're going to have 5 to 10 that don't want to listen to it. And that's fine. But you're still going to help that 5 or 10 that do want to hear. Beloved, I know there's great judgment coming. I know that when we read through this, verse 20, I'll read the last verse. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time shall I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Now this is to Israel. But that encourages my heart to know that my daddy, Abba Father, my daddy's not going to throw me away. Now I'm going to displease Him. There's going to be times when He probably wants to disown me. But beloved, the fact of the matter is, my Father loves me. And He wants to take care of me. I just wished I was closer to Him. I'll finish with this morning. Friday night, we went to a graduation. A little Christian school over here on Waverly. And Stuart Byrne graduated. Stuart has some struggles. Won't go into that much. But they've been around our martial arts program 4 or 5 years. And all the seniors, there were 7 or 8 seniors, and they all had to give a speech. And Stuart gave a speech. Talking about, and listen, this is a young man that wouldn't do it. He has trouble putting words together and sentences together. But in the first part of it, he was thanking mom and dad, which you should thank mom and dad. I think it's a great thing. Then he went, the next thing was he wanted to thank the people at Walker Taekwondo Academy at Walker Bible Baptist Church. And it's dark room, so he couldn't see us. So, you think you know your pastor's wife? As soon as he said that, she's yelling out, "Woo! Can you do that for me right now?" See, she won't do that right now. Room full of people. Can you give him the yell?
He just said, "I can't see you."
Hey, he says, "I can't see you." She goes, "Woo!" So I raised my hand, and she's hollering out there, and oh yeah, she come unglued. I had to get her to sit down, say, "Calm down, honey." And he stepped back away from the podium. He put his hands together. "Thank you, Pastor Garver," and bowed. Now, in the martial art, this is a sign of respect as much as a handshake is. I only go to one knee to worship Jesus Christ. But you never know, if you just let God in for a little bit, what kind of changes are not going to happen to your life, but into somebody else's life that you're dealing with. There is such a thing as judgment. There is such a thing as God being angry, y'all. But I am so thankful there's also the nature of God that's perfect for sure, but merciful and kind. So in Sunday school this morning, as we finish up the book of Zephaniah, there is such a thing as judgment. God's not done with Israel. And I guarantee you, the same God has taken care of Israel, believer, He's taking care of you too. And you ought to grab hold of that. Stop being foolish, you. Be joyful. There's been times in the ministry that you all have come to me, and I appreciate it. I really do. This one woman that lives down on Randolph, cat lady, she needs to be a dog lady. "Pastor, I know you're struggling, but I still see joy." I'm going to tell you what, y'all. You give her to God and do it God's way, you'll always have joy. Even if your cupboard's empty. Even if you can't come up with the monies for the electrical bill. Even when you're struggling so bad you get a bill in the mail that you didn't know what was coming. A son or a daughter does something pretty dumb. But I want you all to know, if you just give her to God, He'll take care of it. He'll give you that joy. God is a God of judgment and wrath. But you better remember too, He's a God of compassion and mercy. Father, I love you and I thank you for Sunday school hour. And I pray it's been a help to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sense out of it, let me know, would you please? All right, let's come back here in about 10 minutes and we'll get started again.